Hey everybody, today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/Los Culturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/Los Culturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Los Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com. All right, enjoy the show.
Come on.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Fino, ande.
Ding dong, Los Culturistas calling.
Hmm.
Whew. Well, let's get our sounds out.
Because
at this moment begins a new episode
of Los Culturistas.
Hey, if you didn't know this, my name is Matt Rogers.
If you didn't know this, my name is Bowen Yang. And we are, guys, this is our first episode back from that we're recording, I guess, in the studio since the live show.
Yeah. And how fun was that?
It was so fun.
Honestly, beyond our wildest imagination for like how much fun it could be and how many people could show up. There were so many of you guys there. Seriously, if you came out to that, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's just so much fun. And wow, some real cultural attacks.
I mean, guys, Matt introduced, I think, a genius element into this, which was the troll bowl.
And I have to give credit where it's due.
Please.
That was Anna Dresden's brainchild.
Anna Dresden's brainchild.
Yes.
But Matt was very deliberate in the items that made it to the bowl because they were all controversial, sort of universally loved things, right?
And it will be henceforth known as the Troll Bowl.
Because you're trolling.
Because once you get pull out one of these, and you know what? We'll talk about that in a second because we have somebody in the studio today who was at the show and killed the show
and created
an iconic culture moment, I believe.
Oh, geez.
You know what? Let's list the credits.
Let's list the credits, honey. She is one of the members of the amazing sketch group Astronomy Club at UCB. They have a monthly show there called Let's Talk About Race, Baby.
Yes. Look out for her upcoming series on IFC Comedy Club called Sport Court, you guys. Mm. This is coming at you.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to find out what that's going to be.
Sport Court.
Like, is it named that because the two words rhymed, or is it truly a sport court? You know what? Probably both.
Probably both. I love a show that's built around a rhyme.
You gotta.
And she is in the amazing Herald team, Some Kid.
Truly iconic team right there.
Iconic.
Some great personalities.
Absolutely. Guys, please welcome our guest,
Monique Moses.
Oh, hello, hello, hello.
Wow,
hello.
This is a true moment right now.
Jeez Louise, we're a bunch of friends here.
We're a bunch of friends.
We go way back. We've been in the trenches.
Yes.
We've done many a 7 a.m. wake up call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all met from doing Story Pirates.
Uh-oh.
Which is...
And that's all we're going to say because two very separate entities here.
Yes, right. Yes,
I might swear a lot and there I will never
And you know
swear.
What? For the next hour and 15, 20 minutes, no kids. Everyone, kids, go to sleep.
Kids, go to bye-bye.
Go to bed, kids.
Go to bed, kids.
We're going to get a little salty.
Play some Toca Salon. You know what I'm saying? Monique.
I felt like a kid today, you guys.
What happened?
I played video games and tonight I'm going to go see the Power Rangers movie.
Yes.
Good for you. I've heard mixed reviews.
Really, have you?
Yeah, I've heard from people who are awake and alive that it's terrible. And then I've heard from other people who just love the Power Rangers and it's a great movie.
Honestly, I want to walk in there and I want to be as surprised as I was when we saw Mad Max.
Oh my God.
Like, I want it to like blow me away and it won't. But I'm going in with that kind of positivity.
I mean, wow. Yeah. What a special experience for you to experience Mad Max without any context,
no context.
Any prior knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say this. I'm very excited about Becky G.
Young rapper
and singer who's making her acting debut. That's not true. She was in Empire for a bit.
She was.
Yeah. But
I remember this.
She's now a Power Ranger. So that's.
Yeah.
She's playing. Kimmy Kwan, is that the name? She's the Asian one.
She's playing the Asian one.
She's playing the Asian one, but she's, I mean, I think the character is still ethnically
ambiguous.
It's, you know what? I don't hate the choice.
Okay.
I'm okay
is
with
she
it.
Is she the Yellow Ranger?
She's the Yellow Ranger, and they kept the canonical name.
Yeah.
And she's, I guess, Asian. It's fun. Whatever. Yeah, I'm excited for Power Rangers 2, honey. The bar is low because a lot of the reviews are saying, you know what? It doesn't suck, so that makes it good.
Okay.
Well, so you know what?
That who's makes the villain me happy. Again?
Rita Repulsa.
Fucking Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa.
That's it. Yeah.
Which makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And I heard a theory today.
Wow.
That the reason, and I don't know if this is true, so it's genuinely not a spoiler. If it ends up being true, I guess it is a spoiler, okay. So spoiler alert, I guess. Oh. But somebody threw a theory today that Rita Repulsa is all green because she was the original Green Ranger. Like, and that's like something they reveal in the movie.
Whoa.
Is that she's actually, Rita Repulsa is actually like a jaded, like kind of Darth Vader-esque old Power Ranger who turned on them. Yeah.
You know what? And this is so fucking such a stupid dredge, but I think that reminds me of Carmen Sandiego when it's revealed that Carmen used to be an Acme agent. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, huge.
I just saw you do an impression of Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, I have a thing. I love doing like black Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
She's a little hood. It's like nobody, you don't want to find her because she'll... You don't want to find this bitch.
She'll fuck you back up. You did that character on Brian Foss's show.
Yeah. Ding dong.
Ding dong. Yeah, right? And he's like, oh, it's Carmen Sandiego. And Monique goes, black Carmen Sandiego.
I mean, we have to differentiate.
Yes, you must. You must.
Guys, let's clink our glasses.
Yay!
Okay.
We're drinking some. Thank you, our producer, Joe, for providing us this cab. 2014. Ooh, Cabernet. Mapouche.
Mapouche. Mapouche is wet for this.
Wow.
Cabernet.
Okay.
Okay, I'm getting a few notes of lemon.
I'm getting a dried berry.
I'm getting a dry berry and some
lemon.
I don't
know what that means.
There's cork in mine.
God damn it.
I'm just kidding. There's
no cork. It's a twist
stop.
It's a twist stop. Excuse me. There's cork in my wine. Can I get a new wine? That's happened to me so many times at work. And one time I literally told the woman, she's like, there's a little cork in this. And I literally said back, does it matter?
Oh, no.
Man.
And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
Did you get?
But I should have gotten fired right then and there, probably.
Oh my God. Did you get like slapped in the face earlier that day? Like what?
No, I just was like, I was kind of funny about it. I was just like,
yeah.
I mean, does it matter?
Oh.
She
goes,
and she was like, I mean, it could have been a joke. She's like, it does. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I was like, does it fucking matter, bitch?
You're like, there's now a hork in your wine. Yeah. I'm going to right there.
Here's a question.
That's how you know you've been doing it for 10 years.
We all must answer this. Would you bring it up to the waiter or waitress or server if there was cork?
See, I don't know how you guys behave in a restaurant, but for me, I'm very like, if I can deal with it, I don't say anything. But that's me sometimes. And then other times I'm like, you know what? I fucking do this for people all the time because it's my job. So I'm going to ask for more blue cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you are there to get the experience of dining. So it can go either way with me. Like sometimes I'm like, leave them alone. You wouldn't want to do it, so don't make them do it. Like today we went to brunch and I was very apologetic for asking them to make me a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry. I just really want one.
Yeah. No, you know, I would ask, but the thing is, I would try to put in a way, and I bet a lot of servers hate this, but be like, oh, I've been doing this. I work XYZ. I work over here. I do this all the time.
Uh-huh.
Would you mind if? So it's like server to server, trying to get there us on go. The same equal playing field.
Yeah.
It's a fun little.
What about you?
You know what?
Do you send things back?
Do you work in the service industry?
I don't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't send. I've never sent something back, but for wine, if it was above like. If it was above, like, I don't know, $50 for a bottle, I would be like, hey.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, that's another thing is I just wouldn't pay that much.
Oh,
see, that's the thing is I would always feel like, it's a fucking $28 bottle of wine anyway, so what the fuck am I complaining about?
Take the court.
But if it's a $60 bottle of wine,
then
I want to enjoy it. Yeah.
Right? Okay, there we go. So there are some parameters and conditions here.
Okay,
great.
Good. Obviously, I'm glad we sorted that
out. It's very conditional. it's very conditional, you know, being
rule
in a
number
restaurant.
73.
It's very conditional. Culture is conditional. That's not bad. So Monique, here we go. And it's fitting that we've been talking about like the youth culture that is Power Rangers, because now it's time to pose the question that we pose to all of our guests.
Yes.
Here we go.
Right,
now.
Bo?
Kick it off.
So it's time to ask Monique Moses, what is the culture that really you saw and you absorbed when you were younger that made you say, culture's for me. I would like to be a part of culture. Like what caused Monique to step in a cultural direction?
I lived in a suburb outside of a small town, small city, and there was no like cool dance classes. So right. culture for me that made me want to be a part of like the world was Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson music videos.
Yeah.
And I learned how to dance through them because there was no, like, I'm from, I'll tell you, I'm from London, Ontario, Canada, but yeah. a suburb outside of that.
Yeah.
And like behind the fence of where I grew up was just rural, like farms and Nazis.
Yeah, so it's like rednecks. It's like hill people.
It's hill people and then suburb and then like Huxtable suburb and then
Huxtable suburb.
The city. So nowhere to take great dance classes. So I wanted to become part of culture. I loved it. Watching MTV.
Yeah.
And
it's a great answer.
Much music. And so
much music. Thank videos. You, Canada.
See, yeah, so were you like watching MTV from a very early age?
Well, I meant to say Much Music, you know.
but I mean, you Americanized it. So yeah. Much Music is like the equivalent in Canada.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So were you watching that at an early age?
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
My parents were like, no, you can't watch that. Instead, watch this more adult contemporary one. So I watched VH1.
Really?
Which is way different than it is now, which is now like a lot of reality TV and like people throwing drinks in each other's faces. Back then, it was like... Every other video was like Jewel and Sheryl Crow, and it was like the Lilith Fair kind of.
Didn't they have the bubble show VH1?
Pop-up video was on VH1. Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. Yep, it was. They all did it to like, you know, adult contemporary like music. Yeah, so it was Annie Lennox. I knew who she was when I was like six.
Amazing.
But yeah, the Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson thing, I remember firstly seeing it and was like blown away. Like the Thriller music video was like, oh, this is like the next level.
Yeah.
Totally. Curious geography question. Mm-hmm. What was the suburb called outside of London?
It's called Kilworth.
Got it. First place my family moved to in Canada was Kingston, which was also Ontario, right?
I know where Kingston is, yeah.
So it was my first home that I vaguely remember, and then we moved to Quebec.
Guys, I'm going to start a podcast myself because I think people's upbringings are so interesting.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this is what we asked, too.
So, Thank you for this idea.
No, I mean, like, this is... Yeah, take it, guys.
Take it. This idea, it's going to call.
No, that's actually one of my...
Las Culturistas.
Yeah. The Las Culturistas adjacent podcast. Where are you from? No, that's always so interesting is we ask the question and then some people they describe their upbringings and some people just, like, have one very specific, like, movie or musical artist.
Right,
so you did a fusion there.
You fused,
and
baby.
You were... Miss Janet Jackson and Mr. Michael Jackson in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And because you were a dancer.
But
you
are a dancer. I wasn't at that point. Yeah. I mean, there was something in me that wanted to dance and perform, but I didn't know how. So I would just like watch music videos and learn the dances.
Yeah.
And then from there on, I was a dancer, but then I stopped about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to focus on Canada for a
bit. Ooh, okay.
Did you grow up with YTV?
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
YTV was like the Nickelodeon of Canada.
Yeah. How long were you in Canada?
I was moving. I moved 99.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So
a long time.
I was there a long time. I moved to Colorado 4 months after Columbine happened.
Oh, wow.
I think I've mentioned this on the show before. Oof. Moved to Colorado 4 months, like right after Columbine and JonBenet Ramsey, which took place in Boulder.
Oh my
and
gosh,
JonBenet. I just assumed people in Colorado specifically just were murdered.
Yeah.
Bowen's also from Aurora.
And from Aurora. So
Ontario.
Colorado, where the
Dark
Knight Rises. Dark
Knight Rises
shooting
was.
Holy moly, what's going on in Colorado?
It's the shooting capital of America, baby.
Damn, that sucks.
No. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to bring it.
That's all shit that happened there.
Totally. Yeah. And it sucks that that's like the legacy. But anyway, YTV, like we would, I didn't grow up with cable in Canada or the US. Mm. So that like, parlayed itself there.
Cultural blind spot,
honey. So YTV was like this precious time to like watch cable, like programming that was meant for kids that was like mindless and stupid. Mm-hmm. And like they had like the Nickelodeon style, like goopy stuff, right?
You can't do that on television. That was a show that like, Alanis Morissette was on when she was like a kid. And it's a legacy show. It's kind of the way that, you know, all that was a legacy show for Nickelodeon. Yes.
Yeah.
And
What about Zoom?
Zoom, we got that.
I think. See, we didn't have it. We had Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think was like your Mickey Mouse Club was Zoom. And you guys, wasn't Fergie on that?
Fergie was on the electric whatever train show.
I almost said Electric Zoo. And really confidently I did it. Yeah.
That show, Electric Zoo. That show.
Don't know what it's
Governor's
called.
Governor's Ball. I don't know. Yeah.
Governor's Ball. Governor's Ball.
No. Do you remember that game show called Uh-Oh?
Yeah.
It was like they slimed you, basically. It was like kind of cribbed from Nickelodeon.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. But oh my God, YTV was where they aired Pokemon, and Uh-Oh was where they put Pokemon on and Sailor Moon. And then, like, I would only get to watch it at other people's houses, other kids' houses.
Did you guys ever watch
school.
A show called Maniac Mansion?
No. What's that?
No, I don't know that.
That was a show with, oh man, what is his name? He was on SCTV back in the day. Like in the 70s, and then Maniac Mansion was a kid's show, and he played the dad on it. What is his name? People are going to kill me.
Oh my God.
It's like Canadian Rite of Passage. I need to
Eugene
know who this
Levy.
Guy is.
No.
But same.
In
He's
that vein?
Like, same vein.
Not Christopher Guest.
No. I should look it up, but I'm not
Dana
gonna.
Carvey?
No. No. Same, but same vein as Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis.
Was he?
Oh my God, I was a huge Rick Moranis fan.
I mean, weren't we all?
Can I look it up? No,
look
I'm
it
not
up.
Going to.
Look
because
it up.
I'm on airplane mode.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what it was that it was a fun show.
Uh-huh.
It took place in a weird house and they called it Maniac Mansion, and it was like all kinds of shit was going down, and it was on YTV, and that's all I wanted to say.
Come on, bring it back.
Did
bring
you guys watch, did you at least watch TGIF?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, okay, here's the thing. Let me tell you about a Canadian TV. 30% of it is Canadian.
Uh-huh.
70% of it is American.
Yeah,
so I think I did have cable, so I did watch MTV a bit. But, like, yeah, I had, like, TBS and all that shit.
You had mostly everything.
I had mostly everything.
But you know what you guys had that I wanted was Canadian Idol. I was like, I was like, American Idol isn't enough for me. I need a Canadian Idol,
What was compelling about it? I feel like it didn't... Did it produce stars? And Carly Rae Jepsen.
Well, Carly Rae Jepsen was on it.
Yeah.
But I don't think
she came in fourth.
Super great on the show, right?
She didn't do very well, but like she became a star. Yeah. It was almost like a training ground to be a pop star for America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember anyone that won the show, but I do remember listening to a lot of the performances and being like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That's
it's
so
just a supplement.
Funny.
American.
Yeah. I mean, I would have absorbed it. I was the kid that was watching American Idol and like making rankings in a notebook that I had.
Jeez.
Like week to week. Like I was like essentially blogging for myself at the time.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm like, it was like, I would be like, you know, this week, you know, Ryan Starr didn't have as strong a performance as she did last week. So she's going to move down to the eighth spot. And Kelly Clarkson ever climbing to the five spot.
They made the show for you, Matt.
They really did. It was for little gay... 12-year-olds.
Yeah,
my God, that's so funny. The closest I ever got to that kind of fanaticism was my sister and I put together a playlist on Windows Media Player of all of Clay Aiken's performances. Listened to them, and we were like, this is, wow, Clay Aiken singing Build Me Up Buttercup is the best thing that's ever happened in music.
Yeah, he was always
it.
Like...
He did, oh my God, and he did, it was the first time I ever heard... Don't Let the Sun Go Down
Go
on
down
Me.
Go Down on Me, yeah.
And he nailed it. I love
American
Clay.
Idol, like...
I don't know anything about it.
It truly... But, like, for a little baby gay that, like, loved music, like, it introduced me to so much music. Like, I knew what Motown was because of American Idol. Like, that's...
Same.
And that's...
They
you
had
know,
a
something.
They had a Gladys Knight themed night on season two, and I was like, "Who's Gladys Knight?" And
then Gladys Knight. That's what I'm saying. Like, and like that's kind of cool that like 13-year-olds that were obsessed with the show now have a vocabulary or some vocabulary for like Gladys Knight music.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it is.
That's
cool.
Pretty awesome. And I remember I went into my like ninth grade art teacher. She was this super cool lady, Ms. Knobloch, and she she came in one day and she was like, all right, just so you all know, every day we listen to good music. We don't listen to crap. And here's what I'm going to play. Every day for the next 2 weeks, we're going to change. And write this, and she was like, and we're going to listen while we draw. Now, this is Aretha Franklin's time. And so we listen to this, all the good Aretha Franklin stuff.
That's awesome.
For like 2 weeks. And so I know, like, now that shit is my jam. Like, I heard Do Right Woman, Do Right Man come on the other day, and I was like, oh shit.
Oh,
this is
shit.
The stuff. Like, and like Etta James, she was obsessed with. So like it was at least kind of, and that was like I could tell her like, you know, I know this song because of American Idol, and I felt like I was listening to music, like real music that wasn't like the Backstreet Boys.
The only thing I knew from American Idol is that I did watch from Justin to Kelly or whatever.
Oh
that was.
Yeah, come on.
And I think I did watch the first season, but I just don't remember being as invested in it as possibly you were.
No, I was so all in.
Yeah, were you in the U.S. at that point?
No, I was. In Canada.
Wait, how, wait, when did Canada. You, when did you
I
move
moved
to
here US? In 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a grown ass woman when
grown
I moved here.
Ass woman.
So why the decision to move? Just because wanted to pursue everything?
My current fiance had a job opportunity, so he was going to move anyways. And at that time, we'd already been together for 5 years. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm moving with you. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to be an illegal, so I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't work. So it was kind of like a weird situation.
A little like rock and a hard place.
Rock and a hard place. I've been here ever since.
Am I doing the math correctly? You've been with your boo 14 years?
12 years.
12 years.
Oh my
so
Lord. Yeah. What is the secret?
Wait, he just got a tattoo. Wait, yeah, first answer that.
Is just like dicks in your mouth like 24/7.
That's the secret.
He doesn't go to work. It's just dick in my mouth.
Dick, dick, dick.
Dick, dick, dick.
The secret. Constant dick.
No, the secret is having a man child that won't ask you who to marry you for like 10 of those years.
And then he just does.
Like, and then poking at him so that he finally does.
So what's this? I asked that question on the ride, the tour bus that I work on. And people are always like, earplugs.
Earplugs.
And I'm always like, and I go to school back. Womp, womp.
Just
like you nailed it, sir.
You just gotta make him. You gotta make them feel like they're the star.
You are hilarious.
100%. Yeah,
hilarious Taurus.
Wait, fiance just got a new tattoo.
Yes,
I think
you
I saw on your
my
Insta.
Gram, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it of?
It's of this really great design. I don't know who the guy is, but it's a graphic designer, and it's all these cool like hands and different. In different like positions, and they have eyes in them. It's just like one of his favorite pieces.
Do you have tatters?
No, but I'm getting.
You are.
We went to the place, and we researched a long time to find a good place to get his tattoo. But we ended up just going to the place just in the neighborhood, and it ended up being the perfect one. The guys who work there are so cool. I'll give them a plug because they're so dope.
Plug
no, all wolves, no sheep. .com.
Ooh, all wolves, no sheep.
You're gonna get bitten.
Yeah, so, you're bitten.
Yeah, yes. So my sister and I were in Universal Studios, Florida.
Yeah.
And we broke away from our parents, and I think this is the time we like smoked a blunt outside the Hard Rock Cafe.
Famously.
And then went into, and we were like, should we get tattoos? My sister and I almost got matching tattoos at Universal Studios, Florida.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, I wish that we had.
Yeah.
That's a real swinging doors scenario. Like, how would your life be different if you did get matching tattoos with your sister at Universal?
Why is there a tattoo artist at Universal Studios?
Honestly, there's fucking everything there. It was their city walk section. There's this place where you can get tattoos, and I was like, Mom and Dad will be so pissed if we do this, but like, let's get them on a part. It was so, again, conditional. It was like we wanted them, but we were going to get them in like a secret place on our body for that trip so our parents wouldn't see.
What would it have?
And we didn't know what we wanted.
Oh my
God. So I was like, Chelsea, maybe we shouldn't get one.
Yeah.
We're like, we don't know where on our bodies we want it. We don't know what we want. We're literally only doing it because it's like a
we're
little
stoned.
Dangerous.
Wow.
Well, thank God we didn't, but
have
like,
you given more thought to
had.
It?
I truly, every time I try to wrap my head around what I would get a tattoo of, I just come up totally blind.
Yeah,
and
don't,
that means
you don't
I sure
need.
I sure don't need one.
Yeah, for sure. That's the biggest sign right there.
I just want to really quickly say, Matt and I were in Austin about a month ago, and we were walking down South 6? No, just
I don't
East,
even remember.
East 6.
It's such a cool town, though.
And then there was just a tattoo parlor, and I was like, yeah, like just like the urge came over me. I was like, yeah, I'll get a fucking tattoo.
Because you feel adult and powerful. Getting tattoos is still that thing from when you're a child where your parents were like,
No.
Yeah. It's the choice. It's the decision to do it. That's really
that's
empowering.
That's like
thrilling.
Wait, did you already mention what it's going to be of?
Of me, of mine?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you about it.
Okay,
so it'll be on my forearm and it's going to be a bouquet of flowers. But the flowers will be like a combination of all the different countries I've gone to and all like the flowers that I love. So Ontario has a really beautiful white trillium, I think, is their flower. And then I'm gonna get like cherry blossoms because I've been in Japan. You know what I mean? And then just gonna be a beautiful and watercolor. So it won't have like a black lining.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
It'll be very colored.
It'll be more artistic looking.
That's awesome. I love that. That's great. Oh, that's a, you know what? That's the perfect.
And it's very well thought out too, I guess.
I was going to say.
Because like, you know, you can tell it's going to mean something to you. You lit up when you were talking about
I'm
it.
I loved
you,
it.
You started glowing when you were talking about it. You look fucking gorgeous, by
Mo,
the way.
Really? Mo looks gorgeous.
And you look so amazing at the show.
Yeah,
I was like, Monique
look.
Is so gorge.
That
Thank
look.
You.
Yes, and you also, you made the hat like,
hell
it,
yeah.
It was you were killing it in the hat.
Okay, as long as
hat were you.
That okay, great. I'll take it.
Wait, okay. And
no, the hat didn't wear her, she wore the hat.
Oh. But no, it's like you didn't wear the hat wore you.
I know, but that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Like, I haven't watched enough Top Model.
It's like Top Model when Tyra goes like, you know, the thing about this picture is Marnie was wearing the scarf, but in this picture, the scarf was wearing Helena.
Wow.
Helena. And everyone's just like, yeah, yes. You're right. Absolutely.
True.
Was there a contestant named Helena?
No, I made those up. Marnie and
wish
Helena.
Wish to God there
Close
was.
Enough.
Wish to God there was. I was going to ask you, are you the kind of person, and I just want you to settle this. I mean, this is just personal preference. Mm. If someone politely asks for the story behind the tattoo, will you like not non-begrudgingly offer it up?
Of course I will.
Okay, good.
And I forgot to add this point, and you're going to make fun of me, but there's going to be writing on it, like the ribbons, and it's going to say Unni and Nuna, which are Korean words for big sister.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
You guys know how I feel about that shit.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
No, see, okay, see, that's great. But I feel like rule of thumb is don't ask people for their tattoo story, right?
Don't ask. Don't expect it to be told.
Thank you.
I disagree. People get that shit on their body to tell.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
It's like they, you know what? I guess that's right. If you didn't want someone to see it, then it wouldn't be visible.
I've just heard enough stories, or I've just heard enough from people who are like, I don't owe it to you. And I'm like, okay.
Those people suck. I don't think so, honey. Those people.
Wow.
Why would you not want to tell? It obviously meant so much to you that you wanted to put it on your body. It's not a personal thing. It's a presentational thing.
Yeah,
you know? For sure. Just a quick anecdote. This was back in the age when this was acceptable of me to do, but my friends and I, this was when I lived in Stuytown. Mm-hmm. This was me, like Jack Quaid and Mike and Rob Tantrum and like all these people. One summer, we just did like a photo scavenger hunt around the city.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. fun.
And one of the items was,
I remember those.
One of the items was goofy, stupid tattoo. Like we had to take a photo of it. And so we walked around the West Village and then we just walked up to this woman with like a sleeve and we were like, hi, we're on this photo scavenger hunt and we need like a silly tattoo. No.
Oh no. How did she act?
We just need like a fun tattoo. Do you have a fun tattoo we can take a picture of? And she just very like glumly was like, well, I have this fucking tattoo of a bowl of alphabet soup. And we were like, that's perfect. And it was just the funniest reaction. She was
I have this fucking tattoo of a bowl of alphabet soup.
Wow. And we were like, yep, that's it. Wait, did I really build up
producer
that story?
Producer Joe just like,
no,
really?
No, because
you
I thought she
them.
Was going to like
be
not
mad.
Tell you and be mad, but she
that's
gave you what you needed.
No, yeah. no, I'm sorry. I
that's what I thought was going to happen was her being like, get the fuck away from me. This is sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But I, yeah.
No, but it's not. It's she not. Would. She would have been.
It was fun.
Acting crazy there.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. I might be retelling it poorly, but anyway, fun. Like I would. So okay. A good friend of the show, friend to all of us, Oscar Montoya.
Yes.
Is the king of the ironic,
beautiful,
meaningless, tats. Beautiful, but stupid tattoos. He will admit to this.
Really? He'll admit to it.
I think he'll admit to it because, like, one time
he doesn't have a chicken leg.
He has a chicken leg.
He has a chicken leg.
And then one time we
and
were hanging
dancing?
Out. Yeah, it's dancing. One time we were hanging out and then on his cap I noticed this tattoo of a screaming cat face. I was like, Oscar, did you get a new tattoo? And he goes, oh yeah, I walked into this antique store and I saw this fucking like collectible card with this screaming cat face. It looks so stupid. And then I thought, I want that on my body. So I bought it.
Oh,
I took it to a
God.
Tattoo parlor. I got it on my cap. I was
so
like,
so precious.
And then that's when it clicked for me a bit because I was like, oh, like it doesn't matter. Like it can mean it doesn't matter what you put on your body as long as you just like have that compulsion
yeah.
and you want it. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, cool.
It matters to you.
To ya.
To ya.
Yeah. And I just hope it still matters. Like, I feel like I'm that in that cliche position right now where it's like, well, just remember they're permanent. My dad used to tell us a tattoo is a temporary solution to a permanent problem.
Oh my God, he's equating
wow.
it to suicide?
No.
A permanent problem to a temporary solution.
I don't think he... might have been. I don't think either that was a popular phrase back then for suicide, or I don't think he realized that's maybe where he heard it. Oh. He also told me one time that the reason why people wear their hats backwards is so they can put their face close up to the glass when they're in prison.
Wow.
He also told me that. And I was like,
that's exclusive to white people.
No. Oh, I love that. That's so funny.
I mean, this is like in the mid 90s when I was like, I want to wear my hat backwards. And he was like, I'm going to tell you this. And it's like that's legends, not true.
I feel like those are urban legends that kind of have a little bit of, maybe have a little bit of truth in them somewhere.
Potentially. I mean, where is that coming from? I don't know. Like, either someone made that up and like it was plausible enough to me as a kid where I was like, oh, well, my dad does know everything. I guess that's so what's true. Because you really think that because your parents tell you that.
Right.
And you're like, how do you know all the answers? And they say, because I know everything.
Yeah. And it's the age where you're like, oh, getting your ear pierced on the left side means you're gay.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That kind of stuff. And I think my dad, if he heard someone else say that now, he'd be like, what are you fucking insane?
Yeah.
Like, it's something that if you would hear now, he'd be like, of course that's fucking not true.
So have you heard the other thing about the baggy pants about prisoners?
No.
Haven't heard that? Oh, so apparently the urban myth is that guys in prison wear their pants really low to sort of like, one, denote that they're down for whatever.
Oh my god.
But it also I heard is like which makes more sense to me is that they don't give you belts in prison.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So it's like your pants are like sagging. But then when you get out of prison that style kept up.
Sure.
But then it like blew up and was like universal. So now everyone has baggy pants.
Right. Yeah.
But then it's a tool for your parents to be like, don't wear baggy pants because prisoners.
Yeah.
You know?
It's because they were gay.
Yeah, because they were gay.
Honestly, yeah. And it's funny because like, what is the truth? Like,
yeah, what is at the, some, that's the
you
thing.
Know, and at there the thing about that is like, there was like the first person to put their hat backwards. And why did they do it? There was like the first person ever to wear their clothes a certain style. You know what I mean? Like, for example, the popped collar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was the fucking little shit who was the first one to say, you know what? I'm going to start a clothing revolution and popped his collar. And then it became like the poster look for like privileged white stupid fucks.
Yeah.
But then like it needs to catch on in a way. Yeah. It's like, I remember like years ago, like I was just flipping through like some fucking like men's style magazine and it was so convinced that putting a tie in between the buttons of your shirt was going to be the new thing. I was like, no fucking way.
Oh,
is this
I think that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And people
weird.
do it. My God, does it look dumb?
Right.
Wait,
like,
and no jacket to cover that?
No. Like you're wearing a shirt, you're wearing a tie, but then you slip and tuck in the tie in between like these two buttons on your sternum.
And then the bottom of your tie is just not visible.
It's not
but
there.
No jacket. You're just wearing a
jacket.
You could,
or no
you
jacket.
You could wear an open jacket. Oh. I would imagine that you did, or there'd be no jacket because you'd want people to see what you did.
Oh. Right.
Because it's like a fashion statement to do that. But that I don't think is going to catch on. I feel as strongly that will not catch on as when I was younger, I was dead right about this, when dudes would bleach the tip of their hair.
Oh yeah.
That
oh, sure.
I was like, that's not a
just
thing.
The tips.
Yeah,
I was like,
frosted tips.
Yeah, the frosted tips. I was like, you know what, this is a thing that people are going to be doing for 2 or 3 years, and then we're going to look back on it and think the way we think about like crimped hair in the 80s,
like Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
like Pokemon Go. Like it was like already we're like, no,
over
that's
it.
Not a thing.
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Matt Rotter's sartorial expert.
Honey, not even.
Culture.
Not even.
No,
I've always
fair.
Made the wrong clothing choices my whole life long.
Well, aww. you've stuck to and don't take this the wrong way, safe, reliable, classic looks.
I agree. Utility wear. I do almost always a flannel over like it's partly graphic tee and jeans, and like more often than not these days like my hat.
But did you want to be edgier?
The thing is, like, I think I've always liked... the thing is, somebody the other day was talking about their friend that has a really good fashion sense. And I know what it is, and, like, I like fashion. Like, I like seeing, for example, on RuPaul's Drag Race, like, my favorite part is the runway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love seeing the looks. Like, even as a comedian, like, I don't really care that much to see them do, like, performance challenges.
Right.
I just want to see what they bring to the runway.
Hell yeah.
I love fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not something that I don't wake up every day and say, okay, what am I wearing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and maybe in high school, I kind of got there a little bit, but I think that was more because I was just really self-conscious about what everyone thought about me.
Yeah.
But it's just not something I think about every day. Why? What about you guys? Do you guys put a lot of presentation in?
I was going to throw this over to Monique because I feel like Monique has a very distinct fashion sense. I'll just go really quickly. I look back at pictures of myself even like 2 years ago and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just like, oh, I'm going to like be very cliche New York Asian and stick to like all dark, all black. These are my stores, guys.
Yeah, but they're...
But they're reliable. It's like...
And you know they work for you.
And they work for me. Everlane, Muji, Uniqlo, and the Lady Gaga merch store. That's it. Those are my four places. But Mo, I feel like Mo... I want a Huffington Post slideshow.
Oh,
the style of evolution of Monique
Monday,
Moses.
Tuesday, wow. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh my goodness. So right now, this is so funny because I'm doing a Facebook Live with Natasha Van Blatt tomorrow about like fashion.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She is incredible.
Wonderful fashionista. But right now I'm morphing into a different style.
Here
and
we go.
I'm really focusing on style. As opposed to where it's like I just wore what I wanted to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I used my dance background mixed with this sense of like I love streetwear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then I also had to do age appropriate in the fact that I'm an improviser. So I couldn't be like bomber jackets every day.
Right.
So now I'm moving into like a Zara meets urban.
Yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. So yes. I'll still wear like Timberlands, but like I love tailored fits. I'm killing turtlenecks lately. It's so weird.
Well, you look great in that one right now.
It's so weird. I think it's a mixture of like, I love layering.
Me too. I'm a big layerer.
Yeah.
No, look, and Henry gets mad at me because I primarily wear his clothes now.
Yeah.
So like, for example, this shirt, I'm wearing this like kind of green flannel today. Mm. And he really likes this shirt. And I was going to put this other sweatshirt over it because I love to layer. And he was like, I hate it when you wear my good shirts over my other good shirts so you can't even see the one good shirt and you have a t-shirt on underneath
that's so funny.
And I was like, but I like to layer. He's like, so then wear something underneath it that's not as nice and isn't going to be like wrinkled or whatever or not seen. And he's not wrong, but like, what can I say? The bitch likes to layer. The bitch loves to be warm.
Yes.
And the bitch loves the look of a flannel popping out under a sweatshirt.
There we go, honey. Yes.
I think you're right on the right track, you know?
My look is like casual gay guy whose room is probably messy and eats a lot of pizza.
Mm.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like lazy gay chic.
Lazy gay chic.
Chic on the end.
Yeah.
Chic.
Where it used to be like, American Eagle Nightmare.
Right. I want to point out something not too specific about Monique.
Ooh.
She is rocking the rings, honey.
Yeah.
The jewels.
You need to have your rings.
You know what? You know what's about you know what it is about them? They're not like over embellished.
No, they just look good.
Clean, crisp.
Classic look.
I love it.
I mean, I can't. Thank you. Thank you, boys. I really appreciate that.
Thin.
I can't wear earrings because I have like a thing where I need 100% gold and silver.
Oh my God.
I'm a fancy bitch.
Yes.
Like that.
I thought you were going to say because like you were allergic to something.
Allergic to fake ass shit.
Yeah.
Potential title of app.
I'm allergic to fake ass shit.
But also, I'm kind of cheap and I don't want to spend, you know, a couple bills on proper jewelry.
Yeah.
So I wear chokers, but I don't wear like necklaces and earrings.
Mm-hmm.
But I love rings.
Are these gold?
I think so.
I mean, are they?
These were given to me by Bo.
Oh.
And there's your fucking engagement ring.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Look at it. I love it. Look at that.
It's so good.
Perfect circle. I love it.
Oh my God. That's the one thing as gays. I was hanging out with my straight friends from high school the other day, and my friend Ken was like, yeah, this is a question. I don't know that. Like, what do gay guys do for wedding rings? I was like, I think we just do bands.
We just do bands.
So,
yeah.
For me,
which is fine. I like a nice classic band.
Like, I just feel like there should be titanium. Some diamond there somewhere.
Yeah, I said, because I wouldn't want to wear a diamond engagement ring, but I would. Here's what I would do. If it was diamonds all around the band, and it was just like one ring of diamonds.
Yeah. 100%.
I think take
a diamond, cut a hole in the fucking middle of it and just stick your finger in.
Oh my God. Wait, this is what I want. Can I walk us through this?
Yeah, walk us through.
Unpack this for us, please.
I'm unpacking this. A dark sort of dark titanium band with the tiniest fucking microns of diamonds along the north, south, east, west. Like, in like
around the north, south, east, west. Bowen's finger is the world, bitch.
Wow. I have a compass on my fucking... Oh my god, I mean, that's stupid, but like just 4 points, baby.
Yeah,
I love that. Around. And still, I think that's great.
Yeah, and still
that is actually very future forward thinking.
Yes, that's very bold.
To me,
very
I've
bold.
Never seen that done, and that makes it drag.
Drag is something that you've never seen done before, honey.
Yes. You guys, we actually are going to take a quick break to get a word from our sponsors.
Hello, sponsors.
And then we're going to come back, and we're going to get into it a little bit. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with Monique Moses. Bitch, I hope that you're sitting down at this moment.
Yes.
Because I'm about to give you something. It's a little bit of an offer.
It's a little offer.
And you're going to want to take advantage of this. Yes. Okay, for you, the listeners of Las Culturistas, and thank you so much for listening, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. You got to take advantage of this. Ugh. Yes. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, bitch, at a shockingly fair price, okay? Mm. It's got the right sink. It's got the right bounce because it's made up of two technologies. It's latex foam and memory foam, and they come together for it's amazing sleep. Recently, my boyfriend and Henry and I, we were looking for a new apartment and we needed to stay with some friends. So our one friend, Patrick, let us stay with him. And he said, I have a Casper mattress. And I had heard about Casper mattress, but I had never slept on one. Let me tell you, I'm not even joking. I was out when I laid down. I couldn't wait to be laying in the bed.
You got your life. You couldn't wait to be laying in the bed.
I got my life. This was, it's really the best mattress I've ever had. We talk about it.
And Patrick was like, this is a status symbol. Honey, I have a Casper mattress.
He was like, you want to stay at my apartment? I have a Casper mattress. So now, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade.
Give it the Oscar for mattresses.
Rightfully so. So I don't know what you're waiting for. You got to get one. So this is an offer for $50 off any mattress purchase. You got to go to CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, one more time, write it down, bitch. Don't let it pass you by. www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas for $50 towards any mattress purchase. I mean, that's like, you gotta do it.
You gotta do it.
You're stupid to not do it.
You're stupid not to.
At least look into it.
And here's what else you should look into. Warby Parker glasses, honey.
You gotta put these on your face.
Take it from me, honey. I've got a pair of Warbys at home, and I love them so much.
Gag.
We're sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is offering Las Culturistas listeners with a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses.
This
you
know, is such a good deal.
Such a good deal. And they have a frame called Bowen, and it comes in many colors.
Oh, my God.
I love it
so much.
Do you
have the Bowen glasses?
I don't, but I should, right?
I mean, you should at least get them to try them on for 5 days for free.
Thank
and get
you.
Opinions on them.
Great
I mean,
idea.
Come on.
They make buying glasses online easy and risk-free because their home try-on program allows customers like you to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to their homes, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home and get feedback from friends, family, colleagues, enemies.
I mean, come on. Ugh. Your enemies will see you in these Warby Parkers and they'll be like, oh, damn it, they have the upper hand on me today.
And you can
say, they look good.
Yes, and you can say, eat your heart out to
your
enemies.
Yeah, and you know what? You can see your enemies for who they really are because you'll be seeing very well because you're wearing the Warby Parkers.
That's beautiful, Matt. I love it. Users can keep the frames for 5 days before sending them back for free using the prepaid return shipping labels with no obligation to purchase.
I told my mom about this deal today and she could not believe it.
She couldn't?
Like, this is obviously an amazing company.
Get Katrina to try on some glasses.
I will, I think.
I think she could slay in some frames, honey.
She does on the daily.
On the daily, honey.
All you moms out there that listen to Las Culturistas, get yourself a pair of Warby Parkers.
And hey, once the surge in the market just goes crazy towards moms, Warby Parker will have us to thank.
Yeah.
To get your free home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, write this down, bitch. That's www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas for your free 5-day home try-on.
All right, that's enough of that. Let's go back to the show.
Come on. And we're back with our guest, Monique Moses.
Yes. Oh. Now, okay, as you guys know, or maybe if you didn't know, we just had Las Culturistas Live. Mm. I don't think so, honey, the live event.
Yes.
And Monique was a part of a moment that stopped the world.
Stop.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Now, you chose to go into the troll bowl.
Yeah, and okay.
First of all, very brave. Keep going.
Thank you. I mean, in my head, what I was going to do was a scathing review of Wagamama Ramen.
Yes, which we will hear.
I'm not going to do that today, no. But in my head, that's what I was going to do. But then I thought, I'm second to last. No one has picked the troll bowl.
Uh-huh.
It's very popular when
you do. So I picked it. Yeah.
And I did not think I was going to. I thought I was going to get some bullshit thing.
Yeah.
But I got Donald motherfucking Trump.
Okay. And so I made the troll bowl. I put everything in there. And Anna Dresden created the idea of the troll bowl. That's so funny, especially because, you know, some people, they might not, you know, exactly know what to do. Like, you know, some people just like.
Might not have a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Monique draws Donald Trump. And the reason I put Donald Trump in there is because I was just trying to fuck with everyone that picked the troll bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I certainly did fuck with some people.
You did.
So you picked Donald Trump, and I look in the crowd, and everyone's got up two fingers.
Yeah.
And it's like 2 minutes.
And it was like the fucking Roman Colosseum. People were
screaming.
Just foaming at the mouth, being like rabid, like, ah!
Yeah, they were. And the roar. Honestly, I was shook.
Yeah,
like, I believe you.
And I thought, okay, I can do this. But then I was like, holy fuck, there's so much to unpack here.
I know.
And,
yeah.
And I have didn't to say, even. My apologies for throwing 2 minutes
no,
on you.
No.
Because, like, honestly, looking back, I was like, yeah, you forced her to do 2 minutes on fucking Donald Trump. But I will say, you were fucking hilarious.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And no, you guys have all heard the episode already at home. It's going to come out tomorrow for us, but I cannot wait. But we were screaming laughing.
We were,
just but I get, hearing, coming off the after 2 minutes and being like, oh man, I did not fuck with Donald Trump nearly enough.
And what a hard, like, it's an easy mark, but it's also so hard. Like, where do you even fucking begin?
Yeah.
And honestly, I remember going to Matt after the show and being like, I thought it was perfect that Monique just did her thing on 2 minutes on Donald Trump and just was like, man, fuck him.
Yeah.
Man, I hate Donald Trump. Like, it was
also
okay, I'm glad that you like that.
Your burns on him in regards to Trudeau were amazing. Also, the real, like, of course we know this, but then, like, just as you were going, like, oh my god, yeah, she's Canadian. Like, this
it was
is so
perfect,
funny.
It was so neat, and I don't know. I thought it was perfect. I understand this. This like instinct of like, or this feeling of like, oh fuck, like I didn't fuck with him enough. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
yeah.
Wait, before we dive into that further,
because I want to hear it.
You're gonna let me do another.
Yeah.
One?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes!
We want you to come through again,
okay,
and fucking get everything you want out of it because it's deserved.
Come on, yes, honey. But I want to hear about this ramen place because I've
been getting tell us about this because when you first said you were gonna come for like the ramen place on the corner of your street, I was like, oh, that's fucking amazing. And then when you picked the bowl, I was so fucking happy because if there's an improv queen, it's Monique.
It's Monique, honey.
Well, it didn't show.
No, Monique. Oh my god, it was so funny. Also, like I was saying to Monique, like,
listen to these.
This
boys.
Is someone
this is
that
sweet.
You need to see live.
You
seriously,
must.
You got to, because when Monique is on stage, you are safe.
You are
know
safe.
What I mean? Like, and there's nothing like that. There's nothing like being in the crowd for someone who is like taking care of you. Like, you're gonna have a good time when you watch Monique. So. Yeah, Harold Knight, Astronomy Club. You got to seek this shit out. And you got to watch her show series because you have to see Monique wherever she is.
And Sport Court, honey.
You're one of my favorites.
Sport Court, the rhyming web series everyone wants to see.
Wait, tell us about Sport Court, then tell us about Wagamama Ramen, and then we're getting to Donald Trump.
Here we go.
First thing, Sport Court. Sport Court. I love saying it.
Perfect name.
It was written by Joe Schiappa, and it's just literally what it is. It's about a court that's in the basement of a sports arena.
Oh, okay.
And it's just random people who, you know, fucked shit up while they're watching their favorite sporting group.
Oh, fine.
And then came down, and they need to be delivered justice.
Wow.
And it stars me and a good friend, Chris Roberti. Mm-hmm. Chris Roberti's the judge. And I'm his bailiff, and we just have a really fun
amazing
relationship, and it's just a dumb
how many episodes is it?
Six.
Oh, love that. Yeah. Nice, good order.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, and this is just another little praise for Monique. I could see her both as the judge or as the bailiff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, come a chameleon.
We get a second season, then maybe we'll switch roles.
Honestly, yeah.
Work that into the story.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't wait for that to come out. April 24th, IFC.
April 24th, IFC Comedy Crib. We love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, so now talk to us about Wagamama Ramen.
Because I just want to say I'm very invested in this because I'm recently a ramen fan. I mean, I've always loved ramen, but winter months, I mean, it's warming up, but I've been digging into ramen.
Right.
And just getting some spicy tonkatsu, some spicy misos. Puts me right to sleep. Oh my God, my boss at work, she's the best. She always wants to order ramen. It's so cute. She's like, can we order ramen?
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, sure, Tess. And then we get ramen, and then we are immediately sleepy by like
comatose.
3 p.m.
Yeah.
It puts you right to sleep. So anyway.
You need that 5-hour energy.
I'm a big ramen head now, but so I want to know what's wrong about this place.
How did they fuck with you?
So there's two things you have to know about me in regards to Wagamama. Okay. One, I'm obsessed with ramen, so I eat at every ramen shop in the city.
Okay.
Two, I work in Flatiron. So when I don't even know if I'm
saying
Wagamama opens its new shop, and they're like this fucking corporate juggernaut. They have a shop ramen restaurants all over the world, like Tehran and fucking the UK.
Let's open up a ramen shop in fucking
Iran. I mean, I think so. I don't know. I didn't research them that much. But they've got shit in Boston. Boston is their only... I'm like giving them advertising. Fuck you, Wagamama. Anyways, they only have one shop in Boston.
Uh-huh.
So they open up a block away from my work. I'm excited because you know I'm at work, and the only thing I need now is some fucking ramen to make me feel good. And I go, and why?
All I need right now is some ramen to make me fucking feel good.
Baby wants to feel good. Let's give me some ramen. Why do I go? One. Soggy ass noodles.
Yeah.
Bad cold tepid broth. Overpriced. Tepid. And this isn't just one time. I gave them two chances.
Ooh.
And they fucked up both times. Their auxiliary dishes are good.
Okay, cool. Like what, name some.
Like their buns, their pork buns were popping. Yeah. Right? But their ramen is all this like weird.
You gotta deliver the main event.
And it's not good.
Oh, no. you can't, ramen's one of those things that's a very delicate sort of thing where you cannot fuck with the formula. Good.
And they have like these weird spoons. I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to give us their version of ramen, and it's like, don't do it. Come and give me what I want.
Wagamama. Come on. I don't think so, honey. You know what?
I don't think so, honey, Wagamama.
Thank you so much. You know what?
I guess I associate ramen with like ramen that you eat in college, and I'm not understanding what ramen really truly is.
There's a different cultural side of the coin, honey.
Right, but I do get very hard when you say the word spicy miso.
Spicy.
Like, I'm immediately like ready to go.
Here's a plug for a good ramen place, you guys. They do ramen and sushi both very well. Do you know how rare that is? This is a place called Zutto. Z-U-T-T-O. It sounds Italian. Bitch, it ain't. It's Japanese.
Where is this?
I only order through Seamless. But they're around Hudson Square, Tribeca, Soho.
Yeah.
Fantastic spicy miso ramen.
Yeah.
Give you amazing pork belly.
Mm-hmm.
Some amazing soft-boiled eggs. Oh, it's the best. I love it. Love it so much.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible, but they fucked up. So, but you know what? I didn't talk about them. I talked about Donald fucking Trump.
All right, so you know what? So you floated around a lot of topics with Donald Trump, but Monique is here to do another I Don't Think So, Honey. And the woman has notes.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I have to. I can't just go off the top of the dome.
No. But the thing is, that's respect. What's so crazy about I Don't Think So, Honey is we go right off the top of the dome, and there's going to be a twist for today's I Don't Think So, Honey.
No.
You're going to... No, not for you. For you towards us.
Okay.
I don't know about this. What is this?
Monique is going to decide on the spot what we do our I Don't Think So Honey's because we did it to her.
Oh, I love that.
We're, the coin has now the tables have turned.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're going to get our own taste of the troll bowl.
I love this.
It's going to come from the Mo bowl.
I got a taste of the troll bowl myself. I thought I did an okay job.
You
at the
did
troll
well.
Bowl.
What
did you do again?
Sarah Paulson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
I
my
think
angle,
you did so good.
The one thing I would have changed, and I'm sorry, this is a tangent. For some reason I mentioned I wish you had done comedy Bang Bang, which makes kind of no sense. Because first of all, it's,
no,
it's
I think
over.
It's amazing because your whole thesis was we want to see you in everything, and that includes Comedy Bang Bang.
But then I also, and this is the other thing I wish I had revised. I mentioned her In Memoriam reel, which is like kind of heavy, and I that's implying that she's
dead. You're
just
giving yourself notes, and no, you can't judge I Don't Think So Honey that all way. Right. I Don't Think So Honey is from the heart. It's about the passion. It doesn't matter what the fuck you say. No one cares. It's about did you make your case? And guess what? You made the case. I don't think you did something amazing, which was I Don't Think So Honey, Sarah Paulson, you're too amazing to not work every goddamn day of your life. Fuck you for not working more, which is brilliant because you're able to come on it positively, but also, you know, the stakes were high.
I can spin anything better than fucking Kellyanne Conway herself.
Oh, wow.
I have to say, if there's someone besides me who I feel is your arch nemesis, it is Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. I think the end of days, we're all going to watch something on television. Like Bowen is Katniss and Kellyanne is like the
She is my nemesis.
Snow.
She's my nemesis. Okay.
We're going to see a televised fight to the death by Bowen Yang and Kellyanne Conway. We will.
Speaking of Kellyanne.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go. This is Monique Moses. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And you got a minute on there?
Okay, we're doing one, right?
Mm. Yeah. Great. All right, Monique Moses. I Don't Think So Honey, Donald Trump part two. Time starts now.
Okay, Donald Trump, I don't think so, motherfucking honey. You're trying to repeal Obamacare? I don't think you can, honey. I don't think so, honey, because even your party doesn't like you. Ooh. Your party's like, Donald, you are dumb, dumb, dumb. You are not a real president. You think you're a real president? I don't think so, honey. No, the only thing you can get done is by executive order. It's like that teenager at a party when they have a party when their folks are away, and you know what? You're going to get your ass beat when they come home, but you'll like still try to have that party anyways and deal with it later. Fuck you, Donald Trump. You are like the motherfucking Babadook, okay? Spoiler alert.
30 seconds.
He represents grief, everybody. Is he even human, Donald Trump? Are you even human? I don't even think so, honey. Okay, you are fucking Demigorgon from Stranger Things. You are just pushing legislation to literally turn the environment into the upside down, and it's probably going to take us like 11 years to reverse. And you want to know why I said 11? Because it's a Stranger Things reference. All right? Donald, you need to take several seats because you are the clown from It, but the clown from It has better teeth. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. 3 seconds left.
3 seconds. Anything else?
Why are you wasting our money? You fucking suck. I tried to go through Fifth Avenue and I couldn't.
That's 1 minute.
That's 1 minute.
Oh my
God. Stop wasting our money on golf trips because everybody sees you. Oh. We see you, Donald Trump.
We do. Honestly, brava.
Brava.
Ah, thanks.
Honestly,
I had no.
But you know what the thing is? Like, here's the deal. Now, when I'm ever like challenged by someone who did vote for Donald Trump and for some reason is still standing by him, or the people that are mad silent now, because that's also a thing, people that were real opinionated about how she was equally as bad as him and now don't say a fucking word on Facebook, all of a sudden they're not as political anymore. They don't want to talk about it.
Hell yeah.
It's like, come the fuck on. But then I get to talking to them and they say, well, why do you hate him so much? And I get so overwhelmed.
Yeah,
like, he's so overwhelming. That's what part of the whole shock of him being president is it's like, truly, where do you fucking start?
And
like, we haven't begun. I mean, we've begun to process it, but it's like, just there are so many entry points. Oh, this is a thing. I was just home with my parents this past weekend. My mom and I had a nice bonding experience. Because a lot of her old students from med school who are still living in China, and even some like family friends who live in Colorado who I found out voted for Trump, and I'm shocked and appalled at them, and I've lost all respect for them. But anyway, a lot of my mom's medical students from China who are still there supported him like from afar. Obviously they couldn't vote, but they were like, wow, Hillary's awful, Donald Trump is better for China.
Yeah.
And now all of them are trying to like, all of them are like, have business in the US and come every now and then, but now with this like, with this immigration crackdown and like visa crackdown, like they're not able to get into the country, and they have such regrets about just siding with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, like that, and I kind of like feel sort of, it feels karmically satisfying for me to be like, well, fuck you for ever thinking that he was a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know it was of no consequence for them. Like, they didn't vote, but still it's like, it's such an I told you so moment. And anyway, you know what? Some of us are smarter than doctors in China, so we should feel good about that.
Did you read the article about the woman who voted for Trump and now her husband is being deported?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually couldn't even read it. I was like, this is too fucked. This is too fucked.
Yeah. It's nuts. And it's weird too, as a Canadian, I should have more of a, an anger towards the travel ban, but it's like, I don't even know what his aim is.
Yeah.
So I can't even I don't even know.
So did you vote? You voted in Canada.
No, I can't vote.
You can't vote anywhere.
Mm.
Oh, shit. So what the fuck?
So I'm just like a bystander. I'm like a ghost.
So you would have voted for Trudeau, though.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
He is a fine man.
He's
beautiful. He's smart. He's kind.
Yeah.
God.
He shakes back, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he gets a weird handshake, he's just like the Trump handshake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, that shot of his booty.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I think the world is obsessed.
He's a great
guy. It's nuts.
He's gorgeous.
Perfect.
When I do stand up, I have this funny bit about like, I gave him up. Well, actually, I did that. I did that at the show too.
Yeah. I came here for fucking like, Donald Trump. I left fucking Trudeau behind.
It's like seeing your ex just fly.
I know.
I mean,
also, his first name is Justin.
Justin. Yeah. And he speaks French. Like, do you hear him speaking French?
At
the Quebecois like Parliament House or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like he speaks perfect French. He's like,
do you speak French?
I don't. Un petit peu. No, I don't really. I just like, I speak direct translation, which is not speaking. It's just,
yeah, you know.
It's just like, it's like signs.
Yeah.
Like I realized sign. I speak more Farsi than I do French.
Farsi. Because
Sudi has taught me some
That's
Farsi.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What did you say recently? I think you posted something.
The way you say yes is ballet.
Ballet.
And then there's...
And what's the...
When you want to give a term of endearment to someone, tell them that you care about them. It's like you say they're... If it's a man, it's Bowen June.
Oh, Bowen June.
Or Monique John.
Oh. That,
and then my favorite thing is like the way you say like God willing or we hope so is yes. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Like Inshallah this podcast gets a million views. You know what I mean? Views. Like
this podcast like vocal podcast like, gets a million views.
Exactly. Like every day I'm like Inshallah I'll find out that I'm going to Disney World today.
Yes.
Then I'll
yes.
finally be happy.
Inshallah. Aww.
But that's my favorite word and I like to use it in casual conversations.
Inshallah, I love it.
If you had told American Eagle Nightmare Matt Rogers 10 years ago
that he was speaking Farsi, I think I honestly think about this sometimes. I'm like, Jesus Christ, if 18-year-old me could see like 27-year-old me, what would I think? And I think I'd be pretty okay with it.
Yeah.
It would be shocking because it would mean that I conquered a lot of my like fears about my identity.
Yeah.
And I would be, I think I'd wonder like, how the fuck did that go?
Yeah.
But I think it'd be nice to see that, like, I was at least happy and gay without panicking about it.
Yeah. And be able to speak Farsi.
And be able to speak four words of Farsi.
And layering so well.
Layer game down.
Yeah.
I don't whip up enough Mandarin for you, I realize.
Teach us some Mandarin.
Some Mandarin?
Yeah.
What do we want to know?
You know what they say you should know how to do?
Yeah.
You should at least be able to ask in any country you go to, where's the bathroom?
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Great. Is this what we want to
like,
know?
Like, puedo ir al baño, por favor.
First, tell us how to introduce ourselves. Please.
So, we all know, ni hao.
Ni hao.
Wo shi. Monique.
Wo shi, Monique.
Ni hao, wo shi, Matt.
Perfect. Beautiful.
Are we Mandarin?
You're Mandarin now. And then, guys, my relatives would fucking flip
the shit. Ni hao, wo shi, Matt.
Okay, great. And then where's the bathroom?
Yes, please. Yeah.
It's a little tough, but just go with me.
Okay.
Just really make your tongue very pliable.
And make sure that when we say it in the polite way.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more complicated, but sure.
That's fine.
This is, may I please ask, 请问,
厕所在哪里？
Close enough.
请问厕所在哪里？
I'm sorry. No, I, no, 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 no.
What's your mat?
Is
it wrong?
No, it's very wrong, but it's fantastic because
it's very wrong.
There's something so compelling about Matt, just so with such poise, just saying Mandarin gibberish, and it's my new favorite thing. This is a new discovery for me.
Ni hao, wo shi Matt. Ti wen zuo shang han li.
Oh,
this isn't. It's kind of offensive, but it's amazing.
No, I really,
it's not offensive.
Don't want to offend anyone.
I'm kidding. This does not offend me, which should not offend anyone else. There you go.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. This brings me to an interesting point.
Uh-oh.
This is a little tea.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
So Oh, no, I don't know if I want to go.
Wait, you can't.
You know what? Okay, I can't back off, but I have to talk about this, and I'm not going to name any names. So I recently realized that the word FAG was in a show that I saw recently, and I thought it was hilarious because it was justified well.
Okay.
And the person that put up the show said that they had fielded some emails and like gotten some complaints because this is a straight white man that did this.
Oh, sure.
That they were now going to take the word out despite it being justified very well because they got emails from some actually women who said that they shouldn't be able to use that word.
Interesting.
And I've seen the show a bunch and it didn't offend me, but it definitely opens up a very interesting conversation, especially this week after that DCM poster.
Hell yeah.
About like words, how we use them, who gets to use them. Because I have to be honest, I was even a little confused after the DCM conversation.
Yeah.
Because when I saw the poster, obviously I cringed a little bit. You know what I mean? I was like, that shouldn't be on there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then why everyone was so mad about the word woke being used, I thought everyone was, without kind of saying it because no one was being very clear, everyone was kind of angry for different reasons.
Right.
And it was like, hold on. And because it's social media and Facebook where anyone can say anything or give any half reaction or over the top reaction they want, I kind of found myself saying, let's actually have a conversation about the way that we use stay woke. Like who is not allowed to say this? What does it really mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. Like I have white friends and, you know, people of all different races around me. And I feel like that word has become such a part of the zeitgeist that I legitimately had to type into Google like an idiot. Mm-hmm. What does stay woke mean? Where did it come from?
Did it tell you? Here's the thing.
I think someone, I wish I could credit whoever said this comment, but somebody was like, unless if this is a 3-day symposium on diversity and race relations, I don't think that it should have been named the Wokening.
Absolutely.
I think
that's, you know what I mean? Absolutely right.
If that was like,
I see what they were going for, but that's the only reason why it's a cringy title.
If that, if like diversity truly like was pervasive throughout the weekend, then absolutely like do some weird pun or play on words or whatever. But it's kind of,
it's like an improv.
It's like the veneer, you know, it's not really what
diversity is not a theme. You know what I mean? Diversity should be a given.
Yeah.
It's we should be, you know, you can't like the theme of celebrating diversity. That should be a part of every day at UCB. Yeah. And so to kind of make that the focus, like I absolutely 100% share in the frustration with that, especially because, you know, the people that decided to make it that way were white people.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's frustrating. I thought it was handled really well.
I thought it was handled very well. I really appreciated Shannon's response.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read it.
It was very graceful.
Yeah. And it really, it kind of like said like, you know what, like this is another opportunity for a conversation, and this conversation will never stop until it will just never stop.
Yeah.
And that's great. And that did make me feel proud to be a part of the community, because you know what, at least we're having the conversation.
And the artist themselves was black, right?
I believe so. I don't want to say yes or no because I don't know, but that would make sense. I mean, right.
So you know what I mean, but going back to that anecdote about fag.
Just say fag, whatever.
It's interesting how, like, it's I don't know. This might be a little thorny for me to go into, but like, if it's like women predominantly who are like coming up and like policing that the usage of that word, I feel like there's some sort of A, erasure on gay men, just like on gay men. B, it's like, oh, well, someone else is speaking on my behalf.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if that's fully representative of my
ideas. And it was
ideas.
Just interesting because I've seen the show a bunch and I've never thought to myself, that offends me. However, so I do have to say, I'm grateful to the people speaking up.
Oh, sure.
Because I think it means, I think what it means is like people have been hurt by things and, you know, you don't want to, you don't want other people to be triggered by something that, but I think maybe there's a little bit of an assumption that it's going to be a trigger where it's not like, at the end of the day, we're a comedy theater.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, like, the comedy has to come first. And if the comedy's not coming first, I do think, like, there is a opportunity to take a second of pause there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But...
And shows of solidarity are good and helpful in their intention, but also, you know, also sometimes just maybe not fully I don't know. This is so hard.
It's such a tough.
Fully called for.
I'm terrible at this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and like, I remember when I first saw the poster, I did like it because I didn't even see the title because I'm colorblind as fuck. And I was like, ooh, DCM, yay.
Yeah.
And then I floated away from it. And then it really I saw this like moment of like all of Facebook was statuses about the poster. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck does the poster say?
Yeah.
I went back and I saw what it was and I saw that I liked it. And I was like, oh, unlike, my name is not on this.
Wow.
Oh, geez.
I mean, that's where your colorblindness.
It will defeat me.
It will. No. But it will save you.
I don't mean I'm colorblind in the fact that I don't see color. No. I mean, like, I'm literally colorblind. Like,
thank
God.
So
I'm not, sad.
Like, I'm not allowed to fly a plane or, like,
excellent.
Be drafted.
Fight in the war.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Monique, the time has come.
Ooh, to give you your.
Oh, well, you can. Well, you also have the opportunity to do another one of your choice.
Oh, yeah, if you
want
to.
So that was just a marquee moment for you.
Oh, yeah. You guys are giving me life right now.
If you want to, no pressure.
I mean, sure, I will. Only because, fuck, why not? I'm here.
Why not? Okay,
but
cool.
I want, you guys go first, right?
We can go first, yeah.
Okay, so this is, now it's time. You have to choose because you've been troll-bowled.
Yeah.
And maybe this is something for the guests to come on to the future. In the future, this is, like, if you've been troll-bowled in the past by us, you get the opportunity to come on here and troll-bowl us big time.
Absolutely.
So, Bowen, do you want to go first or should I?
I can go first.
Okay, Bowen's going to go first. So, go ahead. Monique, really troll Bowen here.
Okay.
Here we go.
And then and then when you are ready, just tell me and I'll start a minute on the clock.
Okay. Bowen?
Yeah.
Your I Don't Think So Honey is about Vanessa Carlton.
And it starts right now.
I Don't Think So Honey, Vanessa Carlton. How dare you come onto the scene the same time that Michelle Branch does? How dare you confuse the zeitgeist and popular music at a time when Michelle Branch could have really had a monopoly on this post-Alanis landscape in music? Honey, you ruined Michelle Branch for me because people kept getting her confused. They're like, 1,000 Miles, was that Michelle Branch? I keep saying, no, honey, Michelle Branch can rock a guitar and write a song that doesn't involve fucking doesn't talk about her taking
seconds.
A stroll down the fucking street. I Don't Think So Honey, Vanessa Carlton, you fizzled out, honey. I'm sorry, but you are the definition of a one-hit wonder. You are the fucking you're the fucking, what's his name, that's a different story. I Don't Think So Honey, Vanessa Carlton,
15 seconds.
You who do you think you are? Fiona Apple for Kids Bop? I Don't Think So Honey.
Oh no,
Vanessa fucking Carlton. I Don't Think So Honey, your time is done.
5 seconds.
Vanessa Carlton, Regina Spektor will eat you alive.
That's 1 minute. Wow.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I love.
Whew, baby. I mean, you know what? That was intense. And you know what? Again, like, we're all going to judge ourselves based on how we know of these troll bowls, but that's why it's called the troll bowl. You feel trolled. And you know what? Now you'll all take a second thought when you try to troll someone online and get a little taste in your own
this
medicine.
Yes, this is edifying and educational, honey. We are teaching the kids not troll. Okay, Monique, it's Matt's time.
I'm ready for you to hit me hard with the topic. Here we go.
Okay. Matt, your I Don't Think So, Honey is on... is on Socrates, the Greek philosopher.
Oh, here we go. I can't wait for this. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey, Socrates. I'm a Plato bitch. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, no offense to you, Socrates, but Plato said all the good shit. Also, you are not my favorite thinker. My favorite thinker is Nietzsche, bitch. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Adopted in the pop song by Kelly Clarkson. And you know what? I think that's true. Socrates, guess what? Maybe it's the fact that I'm not well read. Maybe it's the fact that I have a fried brain from a little bit too much weed and not enough sleep. But I can't remember anything that you said, bitch. And guess what? When I was in school at New York University, hyphenated to NYU, I got an A+ in the class called Social Foundations 2, which specifically dealt with you and your teachings. And still I remember nothing,
seconds.
Bitch. Which means you have nothing good to say. All I know about you is you were quoted in Legally Blonde in the first scene and brought back at the end, and guess what? Even that wasn't about you. It was about Reese, honey.
5 seconds.
And guess what? The world's about Reese. Down with Socrates, up with Reese.
And that's 1 minute.
Wow. I Don't Think So, Honey.
You guys are it. Very, you are everything.
Wow. Very on brand of Matt to bring it back to Reese Witherspoon. Matt, I just... You know what? No. I'm going to let you have this, but I just want to let you know.
Oh, no. What did I do
reference.
Wrong?
No. You didn't do anything wrong. Plato wrote from the perspective of Socrates in a lot of his works.
Well, let's just say I like to hang out with my younger bitches.
Oh my!
Like Socrates. Gosh. Socrates was accused of indoctrinating the youth, honey.
What does that mean, indoctrinating the youth? Does that mean being a little bit of a perv?
Oh.
Who knows? Who knows, honey?
I think he indoctrinated the youth, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Can
that's
I tell
just
you?
To throw some shade at Socrates.
Literally, there's a column over there, and that's how I came to Greek. Yes. And then there I thought of Socrates, so I don't know anything about
there
Socrates
at all.
There is a
fucking Ionic column in this bitch. There is an Ionic column in this bitch where
marble
we record.
Marble columns.
Marble columns. Now, Mo,
yeah.
Now you have, and I don't think so, honey, for choice, right? To be fair.
Yeah, you get to do whatever the fuck you
want. Great. All right, so are you ready?
Oh.
Or do you, I should ask,
is there anything
like
that's grinding your gears?
You can say no.
There isn't anything that's grinding my gears off the top of my head.
That's okay.
Or do you want us to troll you?
Yeah, troll me one more time.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, what's troll a beloved institution?
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Okay. Monique Moses.
That's me.
I don't think so, honey.
Okay.
K-pop.
This is
I don't think so,
hard.
Honey, K-pop.
Wow.
Let's see how she can spin this. She loves K-pop.
She loves K-pop.
Your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. K-pop. Listen, nobody wants to listen to your busted ass music. Everybody wants to listen to American music. Oh. Everyone wants to listen to Canadian music. You're not even speaking English. Yeah, I know you're from a different country, that there's an entire different language. No, you have to speak English if you want an international fan. Oh my God, and just because you can dance synchronously? Honey, no. People like individuality. People like people that can look like Elaine when they're dancing. Don't try to look like a fucking army. No. And I don't think so, honey. K-pop. What, are you trying to use yourself against North Korea and like trying to use K-pop again, like as war related materials? No, honey, don't do that. You are a popular music. You should be for when we are in the club and we are fucking twisted on that two-on, or we should be when we are like in a dance class and we're dancing. Don't try to be propaganda. And listen, K-pop, just because you look slick and like everyone is gorgeous doesn't mean you're anything, honey. You ain't shit. You're fake. You're plastic and nobody likes your dumb ass.
Oh, that's one minute. But you actually
I do, I like you so much, but you
love K-pop.
Oh my God,
I do.
We really just turned Monique against her own taste,
honestly. Yeah. And that's the troll bowl, honey.
Wow. You know, I love, thanks for doing,
of course. Yeah. And thanks for coming on the show, Monique. We love you so much.
This
I love
was so
you guys
great
so much.
Where can we follow you at on the gram?
Oh, you can follow me on the gram or on the twits.
And what's your what's
my
your
handle
mobile
is
handle?
At Nutella Cartel.
Nutella Cartel.
That's all one word.
Give it to me.
I am serving up that Nutella goodness.
Yes,
and we are eating it up. Oh my gosh, you guys. Another episode of Lost Culturistas in the goddamn book.
It's a fucking can, honey. Guys,
we love you so.
Thank
we love you,
you.
Also,
love
Monique
you
is one of the best story pirates of all time. Now that the episode is over and the kids are listening again.
Yeah.
they wanted some milk, so they got up.
Yeah, parents can bring their kids back into the room and let them know that Monique is a fucking iconic story pirate.
She's a master. She's a pro. We love
and
you
we,
so much.
She at the benefit a couple years ago laid it out in the creator story.
Oh, geez.
You did. You fucking improv goddess.
And I just want to mention very quickly, Monique and I auditioned together.
Yes.
And we're in the same call background together.
Yes.
And then look where we are now.
And now we're married.
And now you're her wife.
Yes.
I'm
Monique's
her
wife.
Husband.
Yes.
And yeah, there husband. We go.
Amazing.
And you're my son.
Yeah. I'm
gender is a construct.
Yeah.
We love. We're going to raise our glass one more time to all of you. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. I'm Matt Rogers.
I'm Bowen Yang.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.